Our message today is entitled Strange Fire and Strong Drinks. Strange Fire and Strong Drinks, taken from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. The Swift Judgment, verse 1 to 7 and 8 to 12. The cause. There is a solemn text at the inauguration of the tabernacle, the inauguration of the priesthood, when two of the sons of Aaron died, when fire from the Lord devoured them. Matthew Henry observed well. He says, indeed, the whole scope and tenor of his law spoke this, that being a holy God and a sovereign Lord, he must always be worshipped with holiness and reverence, and exactly according to his appointment. And if any jest with him, it is at their peril. And so the word of God is before us, given that the people of God may take heed and understand what is the will of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 24, verses 3 to 6, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation that seek him, that seek his face, O Jacob, Selah. How we need to make right with God and confess our sins daily and look to God that he may grant to us a right way before him. Moses gave this warning from the Lord to the priests in verse 9 of our text. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean, that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. In the Proverbs, it's said in Proverbs 31, verses 4 to 5, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Isaiah 28, verse 7. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. So the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So there is a contrast here that the Word of God draws for us. Ezekiel 44:21, neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Did God not give specific instructions concerning how he's to be approached? Yet it was not followed. It was a sobering moment for all Israel. And it is a sobering moment for us to read of these things, so that we may learn and we may be ourselves warned to the honor and to the fear of God. When we are also reminded of the man called Uzzah, who died when he touched the Ark of the Covenant as it was carried to Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 6, verse 5 to 7. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timber and on conchs and cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. for the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. The swift judgment, our first thought, verse 1 to 7. Verse 1 says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. The judgment was swift, and the sons of Aaron died immediately. They offered strange fire before the Lord. What was this strange fire? The commentator Barnes observed. He says, the point of their offense is evidently expressed in this term. This may very probably mean that the incense was lighted at an unauthorized time, and we may reasonably unite with this the supposition that they were intoxicated. Verse 9 of our text. Because later on, when you read verse 9, the Lord specifically asked Moses to make this statement to the children of Israel, as well as another conjecture that they made their offering of incense and accompaniment to the exhortation of the people on the manifestation of the glory of God. The bodies were carried out of the sanctuary, out of the camp, and the other sons of Aaron, Eleazar and Ithamar, were asked to remain in the tabernacle. What was the cause? And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 8 says, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It should be a statute forever throughout your generations, that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. And Moses spake unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and Ithamar his sons that were left, take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings made by fire, and eat without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. Total abstinence is a distinctive of the Bible Presbyterian Church at its formation in 1937, predominantly through the efforts of such conservative Presbyterian clergymen as Carl McIntyre, J. Oliver Boswell, and Alan A. McCrae. The first General Synod of the Bible Presbyterian Church was held in 1938 in Collinswood, New Jersey. Two main issues made the existence of these factions within the Orthodox Presbyterian Church evident. The first had to do with the reform, the classic reform piety over against a piety of fundamentalism. It came down to a conflict of the use of alcoholic beverages. The Orthodox side condemned drunkenness, but nevertheless did not agree that Scripture taught total abstinence from beverages. The Bible side asserted that Christians ought to abstain totally from alcohol. The biblical injunction on this subject of alcoholic drinks is total abstinence. Are there so-called grey areas or mitigating circumstances whether we should partake food cooked with alcohol? Or what about for health reasons, herbs with alcohol like dome for ladies in confinement? Right? There are ladies who have just given birth and therefore the body is weak. Is it legitimate for them to take dome, a very strong alcoholic drink? Well, we say this, that if you have an alternative, then use the alternative. We know of those who have taken them and they found themselves next day having a hungover because of the strong drink. And so again, we ask ourselves, if this is a necessary way to nourish up the body when with the drinking the intoxication would come. Then we ask ourselves, is social drinking permissible? Is social drinking permissible? What is alcoholic drink? The chemical compound ethanol alcohol or ethyl alcohol or ethanol used in alcoholic drinks is both an energy source, 1 gram yields 7 calories when metabolized, and a drug that affects the central nervous system and depresses sensory functions. On a personal level, in a worldly sense, the desired effects of alcoholic drinks are a sense of euphoria, easing of tension, stress and worry, general elevation of barriers among people, and promoting good fellowship within a group. When alcohol is imbibed excessively, intoxication or drunkenness results. This involves impairment of speech, motor control, outbursts of aggressive behavior, and finally unconsciousness. Alcoholism goes beyond mere drunkenness and is a condition in which an individual's uncontrolled dependence upon alcohol interferes significantly with physical and mental health, interpersonal relations, and social and economic functions. Specialists in the treatment of alcoholism agree that if addiction is not reversed, it leads to serious medical complications, even insanity or death. How are alcoholic drinks produced? I made some research. Since the dawn of human history, people have produced alcoholic beverages by utilizing the process of yeast enzyme fermentation that converts plant sugars into ethyl alcohol. Meat or fermented honey was used in ancient India and Greece. Beer brewed from barley and other cereals were produced in Egypt and Geo-Roman world. However, by the best known alcoholic beverages in antiquity was wine. Viticulture was practiced throughout the Mediterranean world and more temperate areas of Europe and Asia. European migrants have taken it to other parts of the world in modern times. The process involves crushing grapes to obtain juice, fermentation of the juice, and storing the wine properly so as to allow for its maturation while preventing spoilage. The earliest recorded instance of wine usage is found in the Bible, describing Noah's intoxication in Genesis 9:21. What does the Bible say about drinking? Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." The wretched victims of strong or intoxicating drink have been mocked and grievously deceived. Do not be deceived, or be not deceived is the warning. Not only does it overcome them before they were aware, but it promises pleasure which it can never give. Its raging power causes unruly behavior, degrades men below the level of beasts, and because the government of reason is surrendered to lust, appetite or passion, strong drink is deceptive and is that has led astray and wandered from the path of instruction. This was what happened then, right, at the inauguration of the tabernacle in the priesthood. It makes shipwreck of chastity, conscience, reputations, homes, friendships. It's also delusive. The Bible regards drunkenness as sin. Habakkuk 2:15-16 says, "Woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunk, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory." And so the Bible condemns it, warns of it and admonishes watchfulness against it. So while working, I was invited to a department dinner with colleagues, and there were perhaps about 50 of us. And so we were given a little beer, a little wine, a little hard liquor. Well, it's okay, it's a social function. And when it was my turn, requested for soft drink. Well, at that time, I've been attending church and was coming to understand these things. It takes a conviction, right? A person must understand it for himself or herself. And this is the same with all biblical doctrines, right? What God says, well, we ourselves must think and consider what God's word says and come to a conclusion ourselves. Nobody can make a decision for us, and nobody can push us, right, to say you cannot do this, you cannot do that. But it is a conviction that we need to know. Of course, when you come to the worship of God, you'll find that these things are important, right? The Bible tells us that today, where is the tabernacle of God? The tabernacle of God is by the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer. So our body is the temple of God, and therefore we are called priests, a kingdom of priests for God. And you know, in the New Testament times, we are to be a witness to all the Gentile nations up to the end of the world. And we have a role to play, and the Lord describes it for us, how important it is to do so. And so halfway through the dinner, one person began to hug the other person. He was totally red all over. He appeared a dignified man in his sober state, but in his drunkenness, he embarrassed himself. He could not control his senses. So I thank the Lord for giving me the strength to abstain. I ask myself this question when I look at my drunken colleague: would my manager give to him the charge of a multi-million-dollar business? Well, I knew that in my heart that he will not. And history proves it. Time has proved it. That it is a reality. What the Bible warns us is true. And therefore, it's important that we take heed. The term social drinking suggests that the consumption of alcohol in respectable surroundings is in some way different from drinking in other environments. There was a time when it would have been unthinkable that we would have to speak out against social drinking among Christians. The fact that such a problem had grown to such currently distressing proportions shows what a powerful and insidious influence the present age exerts on the Church of Jesus Christ. Alcoholism in Singapore. Alcohol consumption is associated with numerous medical problems such as hepatitis, cirrhosis, cancer of the oropharyngeal tract, the colorectum, the addiction and the depression, and the encephalopathy. Alcohol consumption is also linked to road traffic accidents and physical injuries, family violence, and other social problems such as unemployment. I had the opportunity to visit someone who was so hooked to alcohol that he was sleeping outside his house on a piece of cardboard paper, and he would not be able to stop. The bottle was beside him, and true enough, just the week after, he had to be admitted to the hospital. And going to the hospital to see him, he had to be more or less chained up. They had to tie both hands. And he was having a hungover in the sense that he was asking in the hospital, "Can you bring the drink for me? Can you bring the drink for me?" It was a difficult time. And if you look at the wife, you look at the state of the house, you look at the situation, how did it all begin? Well, it perhaps begin with that innocent one drink. And the Lord showed in that instance how devastating it has taken, it has impacted that family. And so the Lord speaks to us that it's generally accepted the potential for harm far outweighs that for benefit in alcohol consumption. Recent studies have postulated that the pattern of alcohol consumption is such as important as the total quantity of alcohol consumed. In particular, excess alcohol intakes during a single session, they call it binge drinking, defined as 5 or more units of alcohol consumed during a single period, has been recognized as being harmful and is believed to contribute to mortality patterns in some countries. Binge drinking is associated with an increase in the risk of coronary heart disease. It is linked to mental and behavioral problems in children of mothers who binge drink during pregnancy. Binge drinkers are more likely to report mental distress and depression and to exhibit cognitive deficits. Binge drinking is associated with offending and disorderly behavior. Drink driving, unplanned pregnancies, risky sexual behaviors. To prevent trends in alcohol consumption in Singapore, there were some statistics that were given, and it is observed the prevalence in binge drinking was highest, followed by frequent drinking and regular drinking. Uptake in binge drinking increased in both genders across all age groups, but was most evident among adults between 18 and 29. So as you think about it, you'll find that if the father were to do that, the children would more or less follow, because it's okay. And you know, in most families, it is the parents who feed the children. And it seemed to be okay. So Chinese New Year time, reunion dinner, and all these times where, it seems so all right. What do we do? Well, let us form a conviction ourselves so that we may know that it is harmful for us. And each one of us has to go through it ourselves. So for my case, we used to have various types of drink, wine, champagne, and there are friend who give this digestive drink called limoncello from the south of Italy, from Sicily. 50% alcohol. It's a digestive. Seems so good. After a heavy meal, you just drink it. But after realizing the effects, you know that, one day just take it all and dump it and don't look back. Each person has to come to his own conviction. The Bible gives us many warnings through the book of Proverbs. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Proverbs 23:29-32. Who has contentions? Who has babblings? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent, and stinketh like an adder, a poisonous snake. Another passage for consideration, Isaiah 5:11-22. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, and they that follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Scripture records tragedy due to alcohol. Noah's intoxication. Genesis 9:21. And he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and was uncovered within his tent. It brought shame for his son Ham, and the father of Canaan was condemned for seeing his father's nakedness. The Xerxes, the Persian king, was powerful. He ruled over a great kingdom and had a beautiful wife. But his foolish action before his drinking guest resulted in the disposition of his queen and the dissolution of their marriage. Belshazzar, in a state of drunkenness, committed sacrilege with the sacred vessels from the Jewish temple. That very night he was killed as a fulfillment of prophecy. Drunkenness, according to Scripture, is a sin. The spirit and intent of Scripture emphasizes the evil consequence of alcohol. So the use of alcohol weakens Christian testimony. The Apostle Paul deals with the responsibility of the stronger brother towards the weaker brother in Romans 14. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or it is offended, or is made weak. It takes a stronger act of will to abstain from the consumption of alcohol than to participate in this social practice of the world. Yet believers who take their Christian responsibilities seriously cannot avoid the obvious importance of total abstinence to their Christian testimony. This truth is especially significant when it's applied to the young people of the world who are turning to alcohol in unprecedented numbers as an acceptable mind-altering drug. They are going beyond moderation, no matter what their parents or elders say. If Christian parents and adults use alcohol even in moderation or just to be socially accepted, the next generation will use it with less care and self-control. The best example of our generation can set for the next generation is to practice and teach total abstinence. Jesus spoke very clearly to the disciples about the responsibility of the older generation to the children and the youth. Then said he unto the disciples, it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It is better for him that a millstone were hung upon his neck than he cast into the sea, than he should offend one of these little ones. We must not set an example that will send others to hell and destruction. As believers, we must draw the line, a line on the use of alcohol. If we draw the line at the point of moderation, our ministers will soon find it necessary to exhort congregations to forsake drunkenness. If we draw the line at total abstinence, we will save a multitude of young and old from the sin of alcoholism. So we said it's a conviction of the heart. God calls his people to holiness. The standard for God's people is no less in the New Testament than the Old Testament. The Old Testament warns about the abuses and excesses. In our example here, Nadab and Abihu, right, offering strange fire after strong drinks. So we said our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19. We need to cleanse them from all profane habits, including alcohol. And so the Lord says to us that this is important. A bishop must be one not given to wine. A spiritual leader should set the highest example for all Christians to follow. The Apostle Paul willingly invited his fellow believers to follow his example, even as he followed the example of Christ. A minister who drinks alcohol risks disobedience to the word of God. and the people of God who do not see the importance, the danger, I find themselves impacting. You are the head of the home. You will affect your children. Your children will follow the example. And so here we mentioned about dome for mothers recuperating strength after having given birth. Well, I suggest that if you have alternatives like chicken essence, you know, and other nutritious recipe, you can try them. The same after for surgery. And if there's an alternative, use it. You'll find that it's important that we would think things like, you know, you eat your food, drunken prawn, rum and raisin ice cream, cooked with chicken, cooked with Chinese wine. What to do? Well, the Bible tells us that we are to know that we are to take heed and be careful, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, this excessive eating and drinking and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Well, do not despise, discourage a weaker brother who needed time to search the scripture to discover the truth for himself. Pray for him, give him time, be patient, be gentle, do not condemn, but help the person. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that we may recover themselves, they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And so here in our text, you see that God had to very swiftly handle what had happened, and in order to maintain and keep the sobriety, right, and also to ensure that that it will not become a precedent, right, in the tabernacle. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word, thank thee for thy mercy in instructing us out of thy holy word. May thou strengthen us, that we may find courage and strength to do thy will. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.